Hey, grandkids, welcome to another edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. I am here with my almost old partner in crime at this point, Mr. Dusty Giebank. How you doing, Dusty?
Yeah, it's becoming a familiar habit. Definitely don't mind, but it's kind of weird how things progress to that point, isn't it?
Yeah, that was kind of amusing. That was one comment that I didn't get around to talking about or replying to in our comment board there. Mr. Fanatic mentioned that I was a bitter old man, and I believe he is mistaken with my problems there. Jealousy of the situation that Jeremy has found himself in after his divorce is much peachier than mine. So it's more jealousy than it is. Well, no, it's jealousy, not bitterness. I thought I'd clear that one up to start with. Jeremy can clear up his own end of things at some other juncture.
I barely talked to him lately, so he's in a good situation.
Yeah, well, okay. And plus, he should be back. He's finally going to be back to an 8-to-5 shift here, I think, soon. I think it starts February the 3rd.
Okay. See, this is where me and him are completely different, because I would prefer the shift that he just got rid of.
Because he worked he was working 4 days a week, but then, you know, none of us ever seem to want to do anything on Fridays, so that seems to be out, and then, his woman situation seems to keep him entangled most of the weekend.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So, that's why, it's even been hard. Well, we haven't had any previews to do either, really, like, we had some
we could have done, but no.
Well, yeah, we could have done one for TNA, but none of us really felt like doing one. So,
no, I don't want to waste my time on something I'm not going to watch or care about anyway. You know.
Yeah. Your neighbor has just become a real bitch about ordering those pay-per-views.
I know. I can't believe it. I'm good about that. Maybe it's a new neighbor. Maybe somebody moved in. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's probably the case. I didn't see the moving van, but...
No, I didn't. It must have been overnight like the cults, so...
Oh, man. Yeah. The Browns certainly had more than enough warning before they went to Baltimore.
That's right.
That was no fun being able to...
My favorite Sports Illustrated cover ever was Art Modell kicking the Browns mascot in the nuts. It was pretty funny. So
yeah, that was the first year I was up at Kent, and the Steelers won the first game against the Browns. Some dog and all the people up there.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
By the time the second game comes rolling around that season, they had already announced the move, and people were too pissed off about the move to care about the Steelers slapping them around a second time.
Sure.
And what made it even worse was that there was a playoff game between the two that season also, and and the Steelers won that one too.
That's right.
I couldn't rip on them even more. I'm like, oh, come on. And then there's, and now people just don't seem to understand that Cleveland is not our rival anymore. It's Baltimore. So
Baltimore, your rival. Exactly. Yes, exactly. Cleveland is just some fiddly little team that everybody should feel sorry for. They're not a rival.
Yeah, they may have gotten the win at the end of the season there, but one win in 7 years does not a rival make.
That's fool's gold, is what that is. So.
Oh man. Well, enough talk around something that isn't wrestling here.
Oh yeah. Because I do have some stuff to say about some people. So,
I must come off
like such a bitter asshole on these. I don't know. I'm certainly not trying to, but the audio is the only place I can really say stuff like this, so maybe I am just a cranky old curmudgeon.
Well, I don't know if the old part fits in quite yet, but you're at least maybe a crazy curmudgeon.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, man. Well, do you want to start off with that, or do you want to start off with what is probably going to be the best segment in wrestling all week?
Yeah. Well, my thing ties into the segment, so I'll just start with it. Wade Keller, our old friend Wade Keller, who, you know, honestly, at one point, I really liked the guy, you know? It was only when he lied to me about the free subscription that I really started to get pissed off, and I had to be talked into not quitting the Torch back then, as you might or might not remember. But, all right, wait, okay. He reviewed the opening segment on Raw, and then he said, and I'll quote it, okay? I'll quote it, because it's only a couple sentences. Great segment. They managed to do it without A, insider references, B, catering to internet fans, C, acknowledging that wrestling is fake, D, yelling, E, swearing, F, being nasty towards women, G, saying the word spot, tweak, ratings buy rate, H, referencing bookers or booking, or I, injecting real-life issues. I just wanted to point that out to TNA Creative because they might want to start watching Raw and take notes on the product they find time to rip on but not watch. Okay, wait. Wade Keller has been embarrassingly apologetic to TNA over the years. And as I have implied in the past, there's a very good reason that Wade Keller has been apologetic towards TNA in the past. And that's because, and I'll just come right out and say it, because I have a strong feeling, could be wrong, would be the first time since 82, but I could be wrong, that Vince Russo was a major source for Wade Keller. Does that sound about right? Probably.
Yeah, well, plus, didn't he have an in there initially at when it actually got founded?
He sure did. He was offered the job.
Yeah, but he turned that down, which, man, I think that's incredibly ballless. But
So Wade Keller, during a time which we have been ripping on TNA for offering embarrassing shows, just embarrassing mockeries of professional wrestling on a weekly basis, Wade Keller always comes out with, well, it wasn't that bad, you know, this and this were good, you know, it was all right, you know, that kind of bullshit, to a product that was obviously inferior, obviously a mockery of professional wrestling. Now, for him to say that, guess when he starts ripping on TNA? After he has his little tiff with Vince Russo on Facebook. So only after he's angry with you can he rip your product. That is spineless, ballless, that's a cowardly, gutless thing to do, Wade Keller. Pathetic.
Wow, I had
absolutely
no idea he had a...
And you should be ashamed of yourself. Period.
Having a sissy fight on Facebook, you should be embarrassed for yourself. Oh, man. Yeah, I had no idea that went on. That's how little attention I pay to the Torch.
Yeah, there's a big thread on the Torch board, and I haven't gotten through it because I fell into a coma trying to get through it. But that appears to be what happened. He asked Russo some questions on Facebook. There was a whole big blow-up, and he ended up getting blocked or something like that. So only after that tiff happens can he feel comfortable ripping TNA, which just shows you how, I don't know, ungenuine any of his critiques are. Whoever greases his wheel, he'll give a good review to. Bottom line. And that's the most spineless, unprofessional thing I can possibly think of.
Yeah, so that's pretty awful. Wow. Yeah, and his old boy has certainly picked up his slack as far as offering positive thoughts on TNA, too.
Yeah.
Mr. Powell has really gotten on my nerves.
And I like Powell, and I'm never going to rip Jason Powell, but I don't get it. I don't get where he's coming from.
Yeah, I don't understand that. He has been very nice to me and trying to get some information. I was always trying to get the information out of him as to, and I believe we talked about this at one point, the size of that six-sided ring, and he actually did try to obtain said information, but he never got that for me to compare, you know, to do a little study on what the ring sizes each
right.
program had. But yeah, he was always very nice to me, so I'm not really going to bag him. But I really don't understand his opinions on TNA, honestly.
But everybody can have their own opinion. It's just, it has to be your opinion, you know? Not the opinion of the guy giving you information.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty bad, to say the least.
Yeah, and it infuriated me, and I got it off my chest. So you can disagree with it if you want to. But I'm right, so.
Yeah, no, that's awful. Yeah, I mean, if a guy isn't going to, A, that's cheap of the guy. If he's the one, too, saying, hey, I'm not going to give you info if you rip on our product, it's kind of like, wow, that's fucking really weak. Like, my boy for Pro Wrestling Ohio there,
yeah.
He is fine anytime I rip on them.
Sure. You
know, he'll be like, yeah, you know what, I didn't like that either, or you know what, he'll explain what the situation was. It's just like, okay, that's cool. You know, like sometimes you get forced into situations where you can't do anything else.
Right.
It's just
if I was running a wrestling company, I'd want to know, what did I do wrong, you know? So I don't
want
to do it again, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, it's, there's nothing wrong with being wrong.
Right.
You know, it happens to all of us. At one time or another, and sometimes you just need to be corrected. So, you know, hey.
Sure.
not that big of a deal, you know. People maybe take it a little too personally sometimes when they fuck things up.
Yeah. I have a feeling Vince Russo is among the people in that category. But. Whatever.
Well, that and he doesn't learn from what he's fucked up, too.
That's right.
He keeps on doing the same goddamn thing over and over again.
That's a key point right there.
Mm-hmm.
But anywho, that ties into the opening segment on Raw, which was excellent, really.
And it also ties in, like, that is the one thing that I don't know if we've mentioned it about the build-up Because I haven't read some of the articles about I've heard or at least seen the headlines that TNA's thinking that they're going to move to Monday night sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
This is really the worst time of the year.
Yes, it is.
For them to do that. Because yep. With that opening segment, and I thought, because I kind of discussed things with Jeremy today on IM, they are already starting up build-up for two matches for WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that typically there's maybe a little bit more of a clear-cut what's going to happen at WrestleMania at this point, but whatever, they only have the one pay-per-view in between the Rumble and WrestleMania. Am I correct?
That's right.
Am I
it
not
used
correct
to be
on that?
No Way Out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, they have plenty of time. Like, I'm like, whatever. Like, he seemed to think it was a bigger deal. I didn't think it was that big of a deal quite yet.
I don't think so, because I think you have to wait for the Rumble, and then immediately after the Rumble, things start falling into place. So
right.
I think, like you said, having two right now, I think that's fine.
I mean, they're two huge matches, obviously.
Definitely.
Wow. Undertaker, Michaels, Part 2, that's the only way to up the stakes is to put a belt on the line.
Yes, yes.
And it still is the only person.
The belt on the line last time.
What'd you say there? Just your phone cut out just for a sec.
I think Eric said, or you said, that there should have been a belt on the line last time. but maybe this is the way of just justifying the rematch out of it.
That's certainly one way to do it. And plus, The Undertaker, well, yeah, I'm bouncing around, but whatever. The Undertaker looked like a real girl for not accepting that challenge, honestly.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm. Man, he may as well put on a skirt and just said, you know what, I'm a big fucking girl.
Oh, my God. You're right, though. I can't argue.
Oh, man. Oh, man. I just don't get that. But you know what? I mean, it was still a good segment, even if which is kind of funny because the Undertaker is the only person in the WWE that Vince McMahon will back down to.
Right. Yes.
Which is always a little odd to me. Like, I don't know how many times did Stone Cold Steve Austin kick his ass.
Right.
And he still never
appeared. Basically.
Yeah, and he still never backed down to him for some reason or another.
If it was
but
me,
the Undertaker.
Scramble, you know? Oh, fuck, he's coming my way. Hey, I'm out of here, you know? I got to stand here and take my whooping.
Yeah, and we saw what Steve Austin did to Rambo himself.
That's right. Even Rambo's no match.
Nope.
Oh, man. Shattering all of my childhood illusions on that.
Oh, man. And the Vince McMahon segment did kind of have a secondary segment at the end that I think kind of needs to be touched on, too. Him and Triple H having their little speech in the back.
Yeah.
Was that a way to plant the seed and say, hey, you know what, we're going to kind of beat you over the head and we really are going to invite him back at some point?
That's how I read it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's sort of the way Vince McMahon runs things. I could be wrong there, but that's definitely how I read it. It's sort of
okay,
until it happens kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I think is good. I mean, they definitely had plenty of time to, you know, just plant seeds and just kind of...
Oh, yeah.
You know, let it play out for itself. And God, are they even in Canada between now and WrestleMania? I haven't, you know, can't say I really checked their travel log.
No, their travel itinerary is not first on my list of important things, but I'll kind of cruise there now as fast as my internet will let me. And
yeah. My roommate took the cable box upstairs, and since then my internet has been spotty sometimes.
Hmm.
And he took it upstairs because it didn't make sense. He didn't have enough cable. And it has the 5 ports in it, and he has 2 computers upstairs.
Okay.
And we just have 1 length of cable from his room down here to my computer. So, you know, it makes sense. I only need the, you know, the 1 slot, so it's not that big of a deal. But for whatever reason, it doesn't seem to work as consistently with it upstairs there.
What does one need 2 computers for? Is he hacking into Pentagon Papers, or what's going on there?
I don't know. He can do that so long as he continues to pay
as
his rent.
As long as he pays. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I know that he's getting his master's. I'm not quite sure in what.
Okay.
But I don't know if he needs 2 computers to save all of his files on or not. I don't know why you just wouldn't get a larger hard drive at that point.
Exactly.
But,
yeah.
You know.
I'll upgrade the hard drive. Well, what do I know? Again, nothing.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. We end up talking more about TV shows than about what is happening in our personal lives, so
right.
You know, it all works out.
isn't that true, though? Like, most conversations are just empty generalities. How are you? Fine. How are you? Oh, I'm good. Did you see... Seinfeld. Yeah, I like that episode. That was great. You know, that's how people talk now. There isn't, like, well, me and my girlfriend are having problems. You know, there's nothing like that, you know? Because even if there was, the other guy would tune you out, you know? Whatever.
Yeah, well, I Jeremy and I usually say that for instant messenger, so.
Oh, yeah.
Anywho, any other points really to talk on? I mean, it was just a good segment. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where sometimes when things are great, it's kind of hard to, come up with other great parts of it. You know, The Undertaker acting like a bitch was kind of funny.
The only thing I didn't like. I mean, why wouldn't he accept it? They should have came up with some other way to string it along instead of Himmel, you know? That was the only thing I didn't like about it. Because I really don't think it's believable that he would say no. You know? I don't know.
Yeah, has anybody else challenged him, a second time, and he's turned them down because he's like, oh, no, fuck off, I already beat you once?
I don't think so.
You know, I don't think Snuka was around long, because was that Snuka that he beat at for his first WrestleMania match, or was that his first match at Survivor Series? Am I thinking
no,
on the wrong?
No, Survivor Series, he pinned Coco Beware before getting counted out. His first WrestleMania was against Snuka.
Okay. Okie dokie. I know that I missed some of the streak in there at some juncture in my life, but, I don't recall anybody ever challenging him a second time.
Punk?
Well, I guess I meant at WrestleMania.
Oh, gotcha. No.
Yeah, I guess I meant to be, should have been more specific there.
in that case, no, no.
Yes, I mean, that's just kind of weird. Like, yeah, if somebody has the guts to do it again, like, shouldn't you just kind of take them up on the offer? Like, okay,
like, hey,
you know what? This...
I'm going to kick your ass again, you know?
Yeah.
Easy win for me, you know?
Yep, did it once, do it again.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they should have played that up, like, oh, you're scared, you can't do it again. That's why you don't want to fight me.
Yeah, well, I hope that they can. I hope they can get into that because I. Well, I mean, when Michaels is actually doing a serious promo now, he is so money still.
He's the best. He's awesome.
And even with Triple H, when Triple H decides to not be a goof bucket. Which hasn't been too often here recently, but the couple of times here since Sean's kind of had his, you know, reconciliation with Brett and all that other stuff, Hunter has kind of gotten in a little bit of serious mode. Kia, and no, enough, dog. She's like chewing on her ass on my hip. It was just disturbing.
Oh. This is the kind of stuff that you listen to Stunt Granny audio for.
Yes, exactly. Live happenings at the DeFrango household.
That's right.
But what the fuck was I talking about? Oh yeah, like Triple H has had a couple of serious segments here recently, with since Shawn's kind of turned serious. It's like. Oh, that's right. Like, you almost forget that, you know, there was a time where he didn't bug me, and really, he's kept himself pretty much out of the title picture since last WrestleMania, hasn't he?
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, I bet you there was a match or two in there with Orton or something at some juncture.
Right, but Orton was mostly just exchanging the belt with Cena. And Hunter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like, wow, like, he really almost could be semi-fresh.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
and
wow.
I think
go ahead.
No, you touched upon something. In his head, he wants to be one of the best ever. He really hurts himself by doing all this goofy comedy crap. If he stayed serious, and I will add a footnote to that when I'm done with the sentence, if he stayed serious, he is really, really good, like him or not. And the footnote is this. He has to be very careful when he is serious, because he walks a fine line between serious and boredom. When he is serious, sometimes he takes himself way too seriously and just, you know, knocks the fans into a coma. So, but when he walks the line properly, he's awesome.
So, yeah, and I mean, he's never been that, you know, I mean, his offense is semi-predictable, but, like, I don't think he ever, you know, mails it in or anything like that. Like, I think he's, well, it's probably better than a good hand, as good old JR might say. But, you know, he definitely has his style, and it kind of goes that way. But, you know, I've never really had a problem with his in-ring work, and he seems to tune it up when he has the right opponent.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see... yeah, what they do with all that stuff there. But, yeah, for now, he's just going to pretend that he's going to win the Royal Rumble. I mean, wow. Well, if they don't have Michaels win, which would be really strange to me,
yep.
Or maybe they could really, like you kind of said, maybe they play up that Undertaker being a girl angle even more if Michaels doesn't win. I mean, I don't know. I suppose that they could go.
It's another way for them to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll think everybody expects Michaels to win, so they'll, you know, give the win to somebody else and play that angle, you know, possibly.
Yeah, I see Sheamus, and I mean, not to kind of get ahead of, you know, the Royal Rumble pay-per-view itself, but I really see him losing to Orton.
Okay.
And Orton holding on to the belt for, you know, insert your opponent here, or multi-way match opponents here.
Yeah.
Although, God, that would that be another... Oh, that was when we were down... Well, you weren't down there, but that would be the Orlando WrestleMania again, wouldn't it, with Orton, yeah. Cena, and Triple H?
Yes, sir. It's been done.
Oh, dear Lord. We don't need that again.
Nope.
Okay, well... Yeah. Okay. That's speculation way ahead of time. You know, we'll see how things pan out. We definitely have a couple of weeks here for things start to crystallize.
Part of the intrigue is, you know, waiting to get to the punchline. So, you know, I think as soon as Royal Rumble kicks into gear, things are going to get even better as far as build and intrigue goes. So I'm perhaps stupidly excited about this whole thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, it really, and that's the other thing, like, last year I thought was one of their worst years for build-up, and that's really strange. Like, normally, you know, Rumble to WrestleMania is extremely good, but I thought last year was pretty piss poor overall. I don't think they can do worse than last year, so I mean... let's roll on back to Raw here before we do get too wound up over all that stuff. Was there anything else aside from that segment that really caught your eye?
Well, Sheamus beating Evan Bourne in 2 minutes saddened me. I can't say it caught my eye.
Second time in 2 weeks, or second time in 3 weeks, was it?
I think it's 3 weeks, but it really infuriates me, and I don't know even what to say about it. It's if you're not gonna use them, whatever.
Yeah, they hear the crowd, except when it's for a guy that weighs a buck 85 and
right.
And loses every match, yet still has people going absolutely apeshit for him every week.
And, I mean, before their first match together, he showed he can talk. So it's not like that's an issue either. There's actually no issues with him, except for how they're using him. So.
Yeah, what else? Oh, yeah. And you know what? The one good thing that I've found over the last couple of guest hosts here is they have, aside from Bret Hart, who they but even with Bret Hart, really, they've really kind of downplayed the guest host here recently.
Yeah, very good. Very good point. Yep.
even though they had...
and that's it. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, so, I mean, that's a plus. Even with John Heater in a fucking wrestling match.
Although I would like to see Don Johnson beat somebody in a wrestling match, just because he's so cool, man. In Miami Vice, and he was in Nash Bridges. He's a legend.
Yeah, I mean, come on. He was partners with Cheech, so...
Cheech. Mm-hmm.
You know, how can that be a bad thing?
Can't.
And I can't believe The Miz was talking down to Michael Philip Thomas there.
Yeah. Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. But, well, then I guess we are getting back to that. Was I on the show last week, or was that just you and Eric?
You're expecting me
to listen. You know what? Yeah, no. You know what? I didn't listen to your guys' show last week. Cause it was you and Eric and Jeremy and I. That's right.
But it was
MVP.
So lovingly crafted.
Yeah, I really should have. I'm a fucking slacker like that. But, MVP last week, he came out sporting the serious threads last week.
Yeah.
And do you think they can milk him and The Miz until WrestleMania?
I think it's certainly possible. MVP is another guy with a lot of talent, but they haven't really let him show any. I think they can do something with it. Sure.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of funny that the last couple of months or so, we've kind of put him in the grave, and rightfully so, with the way they've been treating him.
Right, exactly. Well,
and then
I've made this point before. It's like all we know is how you use him, you know? So if you're not using him for shit, then all we can think is that he's a bum, you know?
So that's
on you.
The doghouse.
And that reminds me, that was my other point that I had written down, is Jack Swagger is in the doghouse, with doghouse capitalized and underlined. So...
with at least 3 or 4 or 5 exclamation marks after it.
Yeah, he is kept in the doghouse.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, just getting bitch slapped week after week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least with Evan Bourne, like, I guess I feel marginally better about it because I know that they treat everybody small piss poorly, but wow, with the push that Jack Swagger had, and then to be completely thrown in reverse.
Yep.
Who doggies? I mean, he was fed
a bad year for Jack Swagger.
He was fed to Santino Marella, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm. If there isn't a telltale sign, that's it.
Oh, man. Well, the main event was the tag match. Oh, God. The other tag match, the mid-main event was what I was thinking of.
Okay.
WWE is kind of shooting themselves in the foot with that one. They're teasing the whole legacy breakup.
Yeah.
But then they keep on reminding us that they did the same thing last year, that it looked like they weren't going to work together, but then they worked together.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, you can't tell us that they pulled this trick last year if you want us to believe it this year.
No, exactly. And, I mean, on a whole nother level, if you're going to redo an angle, don't remind us that you're redoing it. Because that's going to make us go, well, why should I watch then?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing semi-new is the fact that there was a little bit of tension between Spindly Legs and Ted DiBiase.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, it would have made some sense to turn Ted face before his DVD came out of the Marine 2. Unfortunately,
yeah, I think we all just assumed that was what was going to happen.
Yeah. unfortunately, those tool bags, unfortunately, they made those guys look like even bigger tool bags by celebrating their DVD, or Ted's DVD coming out with Randy Orton, who's never happy about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And actually, he's, Randy Orton is an intriguing figure, actually, for the most part, because he is getting a shit ton of cheers.
Yes, he is.
Right now.
Yes, he certainly is.
And Jeremy brought up an interesting little point. He's thinking a possible double switch here, or maybe part of it's my own influence from what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about Kofi going heel.
Huh.
With, you know, if Orton goes face, they kind of do need somebody else in the heel department there on Raw.
Well, I've always said you have to do a double switch. Otherwise, it's way too top-heavy on the babyface side. If you're going to turn Orton, it has to be, period, a double switch. But the only question is then, who do you turn heel? Kofi is interesting. Got to admit, I never thought of that one.
Yeah, I said that I was not a big fan because, you know, they've just kind of gotten him to that point where he is a big crowd favorite. And, like, to me, I think he needs to run with it a little bit more before they do that.
I kind of lean towards you. And also, I think it would just mean more if it was one of the more established guys. Hunter or Cena or Michaels. And preferably not Michaels either.
Yeah, I just don't see Michaels doing it. With all the boos that Cena gets, like I just really wish they would pull that trigger.
It just makes sense for it to be Cena and Orton. I think that's the perfect solution. Half the crowd already wants to hate Cena, you know. Most of the crowd lately has been cheering Orton. Every time he wins a match, they're like, yes, you know.
Yeah, even before he started to take on Sheamus, really, which is probably helping his cause out even more.
It is, but it was before that, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I thought that Kofi was kind of an intriguing one that he brought up. But, they really, and that was kind of a wild thing, too, like, because they had that, I'm just mashing all these segments together.
This is like a mashup song. Mm-hmm.
Well, just all the guys started going, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm in the Royal Rumble this year.
Right.
It's just like, oh, like, you know, they've normally had, like, some sort of qualifying matches.
Yeah.
For at least some of the lesser guys.
I don't kind of mind it because when I first started watching, the way you found out if a guy was in the Rumble was if Vince McMahon screamed your name, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Participants include! You know? Slasher Luke! Oh my god, Luke is going to be in it! Holy shit! You know?
Oh, God, why can I not remember the other guy's name?
What, Luke and Butch?
Butch. Yeah, God, there is maybe I can find that picture. That embarrassingly old picture of my younger brother and I dressed up as the Bushwhackers.
Oh, my God.
For Halloween.
Needs to be posted.
And I believe I'm licking his face, too, just like they used to do.
Holy shit. Much respect.
If I can find that, I'll pull that out and get that scanned in tomorrow at the office.
Okay.
I'll, I'll, I'll have to hunt that down, though.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah, you are right, though. Like, they really didn't have anything. And I guess maybe it's just because I feel like I've been conditioned to wait for those qualifying matches here recently that it seemed odd to me that that they weren't having any.
I mean, for like you said, for some of the undercard guys, where you'd be like, how the hell did he get in, you know? Then there should be, perhaps, a qualifying match. Like if Jimmy Yang is in it, you know, you're going to be like, how in the fuck is Jimmy Yang in this? But if they had him beat, like, Funaki or something, then you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, man. Yeah, hopefully it'll just be, I think they put him in a decent tag team match.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that was not even touched on at all. Mm. Well, this is going back to SmackDown here now.
Okay. Uh-oh, we're way back.
Yeah,
way back
in the way back machine.
Yeah.
Because you had read all my posts there, but the Straight Edge Society, like, it just kind of dawned on me that, A, DX, did they even have the tag titles with them when they came out for their match this week?
God, I don't remember them having it. I totally don't think so.
And then, yeah, because I was going to say, like, if they... I've never been a fan of the superstar tag teams.
Yeah.
But the way they're working the system now with only one tag team, you know, floating between all the shows, essentially.
Yep.
The superstar tag team bit really isn't as bad, because then you can remove some people from the title picture without it being really strange, like, and giving them a break from it, like going, oh my God, he's still in the title hunt. And CM Punk is one of those guys, it's like, okay, you know what, he had a couple of title reigns, he was in the picture, 9 months out of last year or so, 8-9 months?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, hey, you know what? He had some time to shine. They can juggle some people around. Let's go ahead and have him and Luke, reestablish Luke Gallows, which is kind of not a bad plan either, since he was a tag team wrestler also.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I might actually be changing my mind on that whole superstar tag team thing, because then, you know, it's somebody else, too, that you want to see on both shows, and they can do it without just having people flop between shows left and right. Because, really, they have done a fairly good job of keeping people separated, because, wow, they were doing an awful job after WrestleMania there.
It was terrible for several months. But you're right. Lately, it's been really good.
Yeah, for about maybe 4 to 6 months or so, they've been pretty solid on that.
Yep. And you're right. It is a good way to sort of make tag teams kind of more important in a way that, you know, doesn't mean they have to make tag teams, because they're obviously not interested in establishing permanent full-time tag teams anymore. And the biggest point was what you said. It takes top-name guys, uses them in a prominent position that doesn't involve them getting title shots constantly. And it's kept Hunter fresh for a year. And now it's working for CM Punk, too. I like it.
Yeah.
Jericho and Big Show were really the prototype for this. The new era for tag teams.
Yeah, they may have accidentally stumbled onto a good idea.
Yeah, and they didn't do it on purpose by any means whatsoever. So.
Yeah. And really, yeah, I mean, it refreshed Big Show, too, who, wow, just really got bitch-slapped way too many times last year by John Cena.
Totally stale. Lost to Cena a million times and had nowhere else to go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
thank God for the perpetually injured Edge. I had thoughts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Any other, I mean, I don't know, there really wasn't much happening in the main event there for Raw. I mean, we did kind of have the mini Royal Rumble moment there.
Yeah.
At the end.
There were large segments of not much happening on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. I'm glad we've stumbled onto some other things to talk about because...
that would have been a horrible
yeah.
audio if we had to just talk about Raw. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it would have been.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Any other thoughts on Raw? Because there is the one other topic that I'd like to bring up, which is on ECW there.
Well, go right ahead, my friend, because I am Rawless at this point.
All righty. You know what? I think I'd mentioned a couple weeks ago that Josh Matthews and, is it Byron Saxton?
Yeah, Byron. Mm-hmm.
Okay. They had been having some odd parts where Josh Matthews didn't know where to fill in, and mm-hmm. Byron wasn't really helping out on Keller commentary either.
Right.
The last couple of weeks, I think that Byron has started to heal it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's really worked out for the better. I'm not going to, you know, say that they're great or anything yet, but I think they're moving in the right direction. Like, you know, you don't need to, like, be Matt Stryker, or, you know, you're not going to be Matt Stryker overnight more times than not.
Oh, right. But if you can, like, grow into being comfortable with each other, and I think that's where we're going with those two. I've always had a great amount of respect for Josh Matthews. Well, I'm glad that he's getting, I guess it's an extended audition, really. ECW is kind of the audition place for the big two. So...
Yeah, and I think that he's finally starting to get a little more comfortable because he can... reacted, like, because Byron wasn't giving him anything to react to at all.
That's right.
And it was like, wow, okay, but now he's like, he's at least siding with the bad guys, which is kind of helping out, and it's giving Josh something to talk about.
Yep.
So, I don't know. That's all I really want to say on that. I really am starting to like that. I mean, I like ECW, and I think I've kind of mentioned this in my year-end awards. Like, I like ECW and Pro Wrestling Ohio more than anything because sometimes the big stuff isn't, you know, big enough right now, and it's kind of cool seeing developmental stuff to me.
Absolutely.
It's quite interesting.
It's nice to see young wrestlers grow. That's why I always liked watching OVW back in the day.
Yeah, and wow, they did a good job too, actually. Speaking of, not that I particularly like them, but and talking of tag team, going back to the whole tag team riff there too.
Yeah.
Goldust and Yoshi.
Yeah.
Against Beretta and Croft. I'm not a big... I'm still having a hard time telling Beretta and Croft apart. Even though they have different tights, when they're in the ring, like, they're just blurring together for me.
I can understand that. That's a fair sentiment.
But, you know, they had them wrestle the singles matches against Yoshi, who got the win, and then Goldust, who lost, and then took the pin in the tag team match.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, if you're going to make a young tag team stick around for a while, you know, and you're having Goldust bitch to everybody else anyway, I think that's a good way, again, to keep Yoshi out of the title picture and, you know, have him still be on TV and not look bad and lose any matches.
Yep. Agreed.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Okie dokie. Well, yeah, I'm fresh out of stuff then. That's that's all for me.
Well, and I'm sorry I came off so angry at the beginning.
Hey.
No hard feelings there, buddy.
I think that's good. That got us rolling. I'm fine with anger. It deserves to be vented. Because yeah, sometimes stuff like that doesn't come out right when you're typing it.
Sure.
You
yeah,
know,
I just
it needs the inflection.
In dirty laundry I have, I prefer to air it out here so I can kind of hash out my thoughts, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And I try not to be an angry person, but every now and then something on the torch really gets my gander and I have to talk about it. So.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can certainly understand that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
All righty. Well, I am going to grab my sippy time beer, so you have fun in signing off here.
All right. Well, for sippy time beer, for Kevin Kid Frango DeFrango, I am Dusty Giebing. This has been Stunt Granny Audio. We will try to do better next time. Peace.